Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the single most important day in the preservation of public housing in the history of the New York City Housing Authority. It may even be the most important day in the preservation of public housing in the nation's history.
A big declaration and a claim as the New York City Housing Authority catches a break from the federal government. That was Sean Donovan, the secretary of the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development, announcing a complicated financing deal that'll provide $350 million to start renovating within weeks over 20,000 public housing units in 21 developments in the city. The housing agency will also get about $65 million every year now for operating costs. The only catch is that Citigroup now has an ownership stake in those 21 developments. HUD and NYCHA insist that there's no chance that public housing will creep toward private housing with this deal. So here with me now to talk about this new arrangement is the New York City Housing Authority Chairman, John Rhea. Welcome back to WNYC. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
We're talking about 21 developments out of the 334 NYCHA public housing developments in the city. Why these 21, and where are they mostly?
The 21 developments are throughout New York City. They're actually in four out of the five boroughs. There are no city or state developments in the borough of Queens.
Mm-hmm.
So just like the rest of NYCHA's developments, they are truly in every community and citywide. These 21 are developments that were originally financed by either the city or the state. 16 of them were financed by the state and five by the city after the war and up through the 1970s. In general, they look no different or aren't any different in scale or substance than the federally financed ones. But New York, in its infinite wisdom, in order to have more public housing developed than many other cities across the country, participated alongside the federal government to develop additional housing. And so we ended up with a portfolio of federally financed public housing as well as a portfolio of locally financed public housing. In more recent years, in the late 1990s at the state level and in early 2000, the state and the city stopped providing operating and capital support to NYCHA in order for us to continue to maintain these developments. So they've been without a financial funding stream for the better part of a decade.
Listeners, this is a pretty short segment, but we have time for a few phone calls. If anybody listening happens to be in one of these 21 developments that will now be invested in by Citigroup, if you happen to know that your project is one of them, give us a call with your reaction or any questions that you may have for the Housing Authority Chairman, John Rhea, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And about $100 million is coming from the Recovery Act, the stimulus, but in order to get this money, you had to engineer this somewhat complicated financing deal. Explain the deal a little bit and why Citigroup wants a piece of the projects.
Okay. The mixed financing formula is actually something that's been used very often across the country to develop affordable housing. And so it's not the first time that it's been used by far, and it's actually not the first time it's even been used in New York State. The unique nature of this transaction and the application of mixed financing is that we use stimulus money, which is where the federal dollars came from to support the transaction, in combination with other public and private money. And that was a requirement that HUD has in order for us to make these units eligible for ongoing federal funding, to make them part of the federal public housing stock that receives ongoing annual contributions and subsidies for both operating and capital dollars. And so what we were able to do is to do rehabilitation to these developments where money is coming both. $108 million is coming from the Recovery Act funds that the Obama administration provided to public housing authorities across the country. NYCHA received $423 million in total, of which we're using $108 million for these developments. And then we're raising another $303 million from other public and private sectors. Actually, the state stepped up here, too, to provide $42 million of that additional money, and the balance is coming from private sources.
What does Citigroup get out of it?
So Citigroup gets two very specific things. The first thing they receive, their form of their investment comes in the form of a tax credit equity. So they receive tax benefits from the federal government for investing in affordable housing, and that's the mechanism that the U.S. government has used to ensure private capital flows to the development and rehabilitation of low-income affordable housing in this country. So they receive tax benefits. The second thing they receive is Community Reinvestment Act credit. Banks are required by charter to invest or lend a certain amount of money in communities that they do business in that have low-income characteristics. And NYCHA developments qualify as low-income communities, so they receive credit toward their Community Reinvestment Act requirements.
And you have said that the residents should not be worried that rents would rise or that they would be displaced. I mean, people in the projects may be looking at Stuyvesant Town and Peter Cooper Village, private rent-stabilized housing, which was bought, as you well know, by Tishman Speyer a few years ago, promising that they would have a commitment to middle-class housing in New York. Elliot Spitzer came on the show at the time and said, don't worry, Tishman Speyer has a commitment to middle-class housing in New York. Meanwhile, they were trying to do what they could to raise the rents. MetLife was doing that before. Now Citigroup is taking over. How can you reassure, not taking over, but investing to some degree in public housing in the arrangement that you just described, how can you assure the residents that there is not some potential here, that it's written in the agreement that the developments will remain low-income housing into the future?
So first of all, the transactions that you referred to are just completely different than what we are doing here. They're different in their substance, both structurally and in terms of financially. So first, let's deal with the financial piece of it. In the transactions you described, the investors are receiving their returns from the actual cash flows and the rents that are paid by the residents. Citigroup receives no benefit from the cash flows and the rents that are being paid by NYCHA tenants. Those rents continue to go to support the operations of these units, as opposed to a profit motive on the part of the investor. So they receive none of the revenues and rental income to generate the return. I said their return strictly comes from the tax credits that the federal government provides to them for making the initial investment, and they receive that over a 15-year period. So very different financially in substance than the transactions you referred to. Secondly, structurally, we have multiple protections in the structure of the limited partnership to ensure that these units must be maintained as low-income, affordable housing, as public housing. It's in the deed of trust that governs how these units were transferred into the partnership. It is part of the legislation that the state passed in order to allow these units to be transferred into the limited partnership. As we take the money every year from HUD to support the operations, it continues to create a requirement that they be maintained as public housing for low-income residents. And quite frankly, the requirements, the tests that we apply to residents to define whether they're low-income or not, are more stringent now in this structure than they have been traditionally. So it means even the low-income standards will not only be maintained, but they will be enhanced.
And is there a date on this? Is there any expiration date on that standard, or is it in perpetuity?
It's in perpetuity. There are a number of things that govern the timeline around that. First of all, this partnership, as it's structured, could go on in perpetuity, but the partnership needs to remain in place for at least the 15-year period in which Citigroup receives its return through the form of the tax credit benefits. And that's 15 years, and the terms that govern that need to be maintained as public mm-hmm. housing go well beyond any of that. And each year we take money from the federal government, it just extends that. So there are multiple protections. And then lastly, which is very important, is that this structure actually ensures that residents' rents will be maintained as low as possible, because By becoming federal public housing, there's a standard that says that no more than 30% of your income can go to pay your rents. So those protections will remain in place here, now becoming federal public housing. And lastly, by receiving operating support, we have money now from the federal government to support the operations that allow us to not have to raise rents in order to make up for the difference that we're not receiving in the form of subsidy. So there are multiple reasons why residents are not only protected, but financially should be in a better position.
New York City Housing Authority Chairman John Rhea, my guest, and Annette in Laurelton. You're on WNYC. Hi, Annette.
Hi, good morning. Oh, I grew up in Brooklyn, and my mother still lives in the same apartment for over 50 years in Kingsborough Housing. And Kingsborough Housing is located in a very historic African-American community called Weeksville. And I was wondering if that's one of the housing projects being considered.
Is that one of the 21, Mr. Rhea, do you know?
No, I don't think Kingsborough is one of our 21 developments in Weeksville.
Okay, thank you.
Annette, thank you. Deborah in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, Brian. Yes, I'm a resident in Sheepshead and Ostrand Houses, have been for about almost 29 years. I'm wondering if this development is one of the 21.
And I'm just curious, before you get an answer, would you be rooting for it to be or against?
You know what? It determines whether I'm hoping to get some much-needed repairs. I live on the sixth floor, top floor of my building, and I get floods every time it rains.
Oh,
and you can imagine
this
after
weekend.
This last storm, I was mopping out my bedroom.
Oh,
you
Deborah,
know,
I'm so sorry. Yeah. Here, what can Deborah do? Okay, first of all, this is unacceptable no matter what, right, Mr. Rhea? Somebody should help Deborah today to take care of that roof or something, right?
Yeah,
floods in her bedroom.
Deborah, can I get your last name? We will, yes.
Not on the air. Not on the air. We'll take that off the air for you, okay?
Yes, and I can commit to Deborah that someone will look into this today.
So, Deborah, you hear that? We don't want you to give your full name on the air.
There's a special line, but I forgot to do it. I'm very involved with, I was very busy, and so today I was going to call to let them know about the flood.
All right, Deborah, hang on, and we're going to take your last name off the air if you want to give it, and we'll give it to Mr. Rhea's office, and then what'll happen, Mr. Rhea?
Well, first of all, what should happen is the number that she referred to was the central number that our central call center that residents call when they have any problem in their unit or in the building. That is immediately then dispatched to the borough-wide office as well as to the management office at the location if it's an emergency. If it's an emergency, there's a commitment to have it addressed within 24 hours. If it's not an emergency, you know, a tenant has a problem with a cabinet in their kitchen, then it goes into it's logged and it is placed in the order it was received, and they are given a date in which someone will come to their apartment to fix the problem.
So we're going to get you Deborah's contact, and I'm going to move this along because we're going to run out of time soon. But she was hoping to get repairs, perhaps as a result of this. These 21 developments that are included in this deal with Citigroup infusions of money, are they going to have now more maintenance, more repairs? What's going to be different in these 21 compared to the rest?
Okay, so a couple of things. Number one, we have roughly $7.5 billion worth of capital improvements that are required on NYCHA buildings over the next 5 years. And to put it into context, our five-year capital plan has $2.5 billion in it in order to do improvements to all of the NYCHA development. So you can see there's a substantial gap between the money that's required and needed in order to bring all of NYCHA developments up to the standards that we would all expect and like to see versus what we have available through both our federal and other sources. What this has done is obviously brought additional money in the form of private dollars, and that's why we looked at private solutions, because we need to identify additional capital to support all of the NYCHA developments. These 21 will receive, as you said, hundreds of millions of dollars over the next 2 years, incremental to what was originally in our capital plan. So that's a very positive thing. But the reality is that we will invest not just the incremental money we received from the federalization, but also the existing capital program on roofs, elevators, brickwork, most of the things that protect the infrastructure of these buildings, as opposed to receiving substantial amount of new money to invest in an individual apartment.
Is that going to make it a kind of privileged tier of public housing projects with more money going into those?
No, just the opposite, because what we've been doing over the past decade is taking money from the other federal developments. So of our 334, all but 21 of them were federal developments receiving subsidies, and we were taking money from those federal developments to actually invest in the 21 that weren't receiving any money. So now that the 21 will become federalized as well and receive their own allocation of operating and capital support, that allows the other developments to receive what they should have been receiving in the first place.
So before you go, do you think this move signals that the federal government is going to get back into funding public housing? I mean, the feds built public housing and then slowly pulled out over the years. Is HUD, under the direction of Sean Donovan, who was the former New York City HPD commissioner under Mayor Bloomberg, making a policy shift toward investing in public housing again, or is this a unique situation?
No, absolutely the former. There has been a policy shift, and this move just is a demonstrable action to show that it's more than policy, but it's actually going to immediately begin to flow in the allocation of funding out of Washington. So the first step, President Obama said he wanted to fully fund public housing and to reinvest in low-income communities across the country. The second step was to make public housing part of the Recovery Act. And we received, as I said, at NYCHA, $423 million of a $4 billion pool for capital projects as part of the Recovery Act. And now the next step has been to fully fund the operating fund for public housing on an annual basis. And the budget for 2011 does fully fund public housing at an operating level.
Do you get that they're going to build new public housing or just maintain the existing stock?
Well, currently, there's a moratorium on building new public housing and adding it to the federal funding formula, which is why NYCHA had to use this one-time opportunity that the Recovery Act provided for us to create this mixed financing transaction to bring these 21 developments into the funding formula. Once that Recovery Act period expired, which is March 17th, today, so it's interesting that we're having this call, we had to get this deal completed before March 17th. If we didn't, we would not have been able to add these units to the public housing stock that receives funding. So there's not a plan to develop new public housing in New York or anywhere else in the country. There are opportunities for additional mixed financing development to take place and to fund those through a different mechanism than your traditional public housing funding formula.
And just so people know how unique New York is in this area, many cities are tearing down their public housing. And Secretary Donovan said in his announcement that they're preserving the equivalent of Boston and Washington, D.C.'s public housing combined with these 21 units. That's how invested New York is in public housing compared to the rest of the country.
There are over 20,000 units in these 21 developments that have over 45,000 residents. As Secretary Donovan emphasized, this would be the third largest public housing authority if it was a standalone entity in the country.
John Rhea, the chairman of the New York City Housing Authority, congratulations on this money, and thank you very much for coming on with us. We appreciate it.
And thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, coming up next, Israel-U.S. relations at what many are calling a 35-year low. And then we will have our Irish New York census for St. Patrick's Day. Stay tuned.